This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening. Happy Wednesday to us all. You can be part of this fine production anytime, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line. It's a text line. We got Jess P.S. on the board and on the horn. And my co-host for the day, our friend Matt Rothschild. You might know him from the Progressive or the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, even an author of the book, How to Save Democracy in Wisconsin. And of course,
how's that going?
Our friend. Yeah, man. I think you need to write a second book, Matt. Welcome, buddy.
I'm done writing books. But it's nice to be with you. I'd rather be on radio.
All right, man. Always appreciate you joining me, Matt. Lots to catch up on. And we have our friend Earl Ingram Jr. also going to join us at 4:30 today. So I got a lot of friends joining us today. You can do so as well. Matt, it's been a while since we spoke on the radio, so let's get to it. The cabinet picks. You know, the clown show continues on this administration. I swear to God, Trump is just picking people he randomly sees on television for his cabinet picks. And one of them, Matt Gaetz, is the one that's really, really getting some Republicans a little riled up, Matt. As the Washington Post is reporting today, the House Ethics Committee investigators probing the sexual misconduct allegation against Gaetz obtained records showing he paid more than $10,000 to two women who testified before the committee. $10,000 to two women. Apparently, 27 PayPal and Venmo payments disbursed between July 2017 and January of 2019, totaling over $10,000. Now, my understanding also, some of these transactions were done through his quote-unquote adopted son, the younger brother of one of his girlfriends at the time. He was using that account to, you know, put a little distance between him and the payments. Matt, what's your take, not only on Gaetz, but as the general vibe of the cabinet picks?
Well, certainly Trump's not getting the very best, the best people possible in the whole country. I mean, he's only getting his loyalists. And, you know, nothing Trump would do right now would surprise me. I mean, he's already showed us who he is 100 times. So he's the authoritarian, picking loyalists, you know, flipping off the establishment by getting these folks who are totally disreputable and just wanting to see if he can ram them through. And you know, they'll do everything that he wants. And that's the only thing that he cares about. And, yeah, he's recruiting from Fox News and recruiting from anyone who, you know, stood by him during all his trials. So, and the fact that someone has a sexual, either underage sex, which Gaetz is also accused of, or a sexual assault accusation that settled, with a non-disclosure agreement, like another one of his
Pete Hegseth from Fox. Yeah. Yep.
It doesn't matter to him. You know, I mean, he's comfortable with those folks because he is one of those folks. He's had his own, you know, problems. And so, to me, it's kind of horrifying if you're, if you are a woman who's had to deal with sexual abuse, to see all these sexual abusers, you know, in the White House, and just the total nonchalance that Trump has in picking these people. So that's a total rebuke for anyone who's been abused or loves someone who's been abused. I mean, you'd think we'd have higher standards for our people who are in government, but clearly we don't. Not with Donald Trump. But again, you know, this is something that the voters, you know, we all should have been aware of. And I know he won mostly because of inflation and maybe because of racism and sexism. And we'll get in with some of that into some of that with Earl Ingram, who I'm looking forward to speaking to at 4:30. But look, this is the Trump crew. We shouldn't be surprised by any incompetent toady that he picks for his cabinet or sub-cabinet positions. You know, we shouldn't be surprised if there are tanks in the streets either. We shouldn't be surprised if there's performative violence when they're an actual violence and a drumbeat of violence when they're dragging undocumented people out of their homes or out of the workplace. I expect to see that, unfortunately.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Co-host today, Matt Rothschild, joining me. Got Jess P.S. on the board as well. Matt, the House Ethics Committee today declined to release their ethics report probing the sexual misconduct allegations against Gates. My understanding, it's five Democrats, five Republicans. And in lots of these kinds of issues, that committee generally has a unanimous votes. In this case, that was not the case, and they will continue to meet apparently on their regular schedule. To meet again a few times, perhaps before the end of the year, but they declined to release that report. I did see that the Senate Judiciary Committee is asking the FBI for their files. Now, you know, this is still the Biden administration, Matt. You know what I'm saying? They want some information coming out of the FBI. They can get that. They can get whatever right. They want. All they got to do is ask, and Biden can tell them to do it. We know how much authority the president has, especially given the most recent Supreme Court rulings. So Biden should certainly open up the books on that. But at the end of the day, you think it matters? You think Susan Collins, who says that there should be extensive vetting, do you believe any of it?
No, I don't. It's a big charade. And you know, I don't know how to place odds on this one as to whether they'll get, you know, the three or four senators they need here to stand up and do what's right. But look, Susan Collins, I've got no faith in after the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation and all the other confirmations where she turned out to be just a total coward. But I think this report is going to come out. Washington leaks terribly, and someone is going to leak that whole report at some point here in the next couple of weeks. I'm prepared to say I certainly wouldn't be shocked if it comes out in the next 3 days, but will it make any difference? I don't know. Well, you've got J.D. Vance in there in the Senate twisting people's arms saying you better approve this guy. This is Trump's guy. Trump won the election. The only reason, you know, you won or you're going to win in your reelection is because Trump's helping you. So you better salute.
The Senate, you know, the constitutional obligation, Matt, for advice and consent. And if, you know, a couple of the issues that could come up, I mean, Donald Trump could try recess appointments. Remember how mad, you know, the Republicans got when Obama was doing it because of the games that the Republicans were playing as well. Now, you know, they have the power and they're like, oh, they're going to do some recess appointments, perhaps. But do you think the Senate's going to take the advice and consent seriously? Because at the end of the day, if they go through the process and, you know, we've heard people like Senator Ron Johnson, oh, I don't know the specifics of the crimes. I know nothing, but I'm going to keep an open mind. You know, that kind of thing. Ultimately, they got to either put their stamp of approval on these folks or not, regardless of what kind of pressure J.D. Vance is giving them or what kind of pressure the soon-to-be president is giving them. They have to make that determination, and that's going to be on them. Do you have faith in the Senate, Matt?
I don't. I mean, the only Republican I think who's liable to find her spine is Lisa Murkowski, because she's shown it several times in the past, and I think she'll rise to the occasion. But other than that, I wouldn't be surprised if Trump got every other Republican.
The CBS, the headline right before we got on the air today caught my eye, Matt. Four Trump administration picks have sexual misconduct allegations in their past. Matt Gaetz, who we just talked about, Pete Hegseth, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and Elon Musk have all faced varying degrees of sexual misconduct allegations. Only the best people.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so appalling. And for women across the country who didn't vote for Trump, it's got to be just so nauseating. And for women who did vote for him, they didn't vote for him because of this. They didn't vote for him because they wanted sexual abusers in the White House.
But this was obvious.
Don't they want sexual abusers in the White House? Because isn't that what they just voted for again?
Well, they voted for him at the top. I mean, again, let's look. I mean, you're right. I don't want to sound naive there. The first time Trump won, he got 53% of white women's votes. And I think he got a similar percentage this time around. I saw it at 54. I'm not sure that was the final number, but look, white women supported Trump. You know, did they support him because he's a a sexual offender. Probably that's not the reason they voted for him, but didn't seem to bother him enough not to vote.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the issue. And I think what Democrats need to do is talk to people about what really concerns them the most and win them over that way. But also, I mean, this kind of conduct, this kind of just, it's okay if you have, if you've abused a woman in your past, you can sit in the cabinet, you can sit in the Oval Office. That's America today.
I hate to say, you know, sexual assaults aside, I know it's so, but this is where we're at. I mean, I got to move on from the allegations of sexual abuse. The ability of these folks to perform the job, the competency. I mean, Matt Gaetz is a lawyer, but all my understanding, he didn't practice very much. And other than being on a congressional oversight, I don't think he has any idea how to run this kind of organization. Will there be, and what kind of impact would incompetence, let alone doing the bidding of the master, but actual incompetence of never being in a position like this before, and what could possibly happen in all these different cabinet positions?
You know, incompetence is my only hope right now, because if they were competent, they would accomplish his fascist goals. But yeah, Gaetz has never run an agency. Hegseth's never run a small business. Robert F., you know, 3 million people he's supposed to run at the Pentagon. Robert F. Kennedy has never run a big business. You know, now he's going to run, you know, however many people are over there at the health department. I'm hoping they're incompetent. That's the only thing that makes me fall asleep at night.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Andrew from Detroit, going to get you in here quick. Welcome, Andrew. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. I'm kind of upset because I'm listening all day, day after day after day, and we knew this was coming. We knew these people were coming. We knew they were going to be put in. I guess the big thing is stop talking about it and let's see what they do, which will be horrible. We know it will be horrible, but in the meantime, we've got to get ready for the midterm.
Andrew, yes, of course. And we got elections even before that here in Wisconsin. We got a Wisconsin Supreme Court election. Ben Wickle reminded us today, like 130 days. But come on, man, this $10,000 in payment. That's new to me, man, that the perhaps future Attorney General of the United States is paying hookers, dude. I mean, that's kind of a story, because my understanding, and I don't agree with it. I think you know, prostitution should be legal, regulated, and taxed. But that aside, it is currently against the law, and this guy is supposed to, I don't know, uphold the law. But when you have the adjudicated rapist in the White House, maybe it's all topsy turvy. I'm not going to not talk about that, Andrew. But thanks for the call. 855-752-4842. Coming back with more of your calls, and with our friend Matt Rothschild. Not to put too fine a bun on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Matt Rothschild sticking with me today. Jess P.S. on the board as well. Our friend Earl Ingram going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take your calls in just a moment, 855-75-CIVIC. Matt mentioned from the CBS News reporting, 4 Trump administration picks have sexual misconduct allegations in their past. We've talked quite a bit about Matt Gaetz and also Pete Hegseth from the Foxy. A couple more on here, though, that I'd like to line up for you folks. Eight employees of SpaceX filed a lawsuit earlier this year accusing CEO Elon Musk of fostering a hostile work environment that the plaintiffs say was rife with sexual harassment. The 8 plaintiffs said that during the course of their employment with SpaceX, they were exposed to unwanted conduct and comments of a sexual nature by Elon Musk that created a hostile and abusive work environment. Now, Musk has denied the allegations. Of course, he's been tapped to lead the Department of Government Efficiency, a government agency intended Trump intends to establish. Well, I don't know how efficient he's going to be, Matt, if he continues with the sexual harassment. And if that continues on, again, he denied it, but there's a lawsuit. You know, will any organization that he is a part of under this government take those issues seriously?
Oh, I doubt it. And I wouldn't be surprised if they went after the whole concept of a hostile work environment, you know, or maybe, you know, get someone to run it up to their friends at the U.S. Supreme Court. You know, these guys, they're kind of barbarians anyway, you know, they're kind of cavemen, if you will, when it comes to sexual propriety. And, you know, this is part of the, you know, the bro counter revolution that we're facing here. You know, we want to be free to do whatever we want, say whatever we want, you know, and just, you know, make it as unpleasant and uncomfortable for women in the workplace as possible. That's what freedom means to them. And so, you know, Elon Musk, all about that on Twitter and all about that evidently in his own workplace.
You know, I just get this image in my head of like the old cartoons from or comic strips from the 50s or something, where you have the boss, you know, chasing the secretary around the desk kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 9 to 5, Dolly Parton's right there.
Also, Kennedy, Trump's pick to lead the Department of Health and Human Services, is the only one of the four who indicated it was possible that he had acted inappropriately, apologizing to a former nanny for allegations of unwanted sexual advances in the 1990s. He told CBS that he does not recall the conduct in question, but does not want to leave anybody in the world feeling like I did something that was insensitive or inappropriate. Asked whether he might have to make a similar apology to someone else in the future, Kennedy replied, "It's quite possible. I'm 70 years old. I had a very rambunctious life."
Oof. I'm sure there are other people there.
Very, very rambunctious. 855-752-4842. Jim from Brookfield, you're next. Welcome, Jim. What do you got for us?
Welcome, Don and Matt. Thank you for being rambunctious. I just want to say I really appreciate your show.
Thanks,
man. Civic Media. It's really the only media outlets I've been able to listen to post-election due to depression and whatnot, but I'm going to continue to listen, and I really appreciate you guys being a voice of reason. I just wanted to talk about the cabinet picks. It's obvious they are giving the middle finger to the Me Too movement. They're going out of the way to say, forget this Me Too movement that was wrong. We're going to correct the errors of the past and, you know, set the record straight, and we're going to continue on, just like you say, 9 to 5, chasing around the desk. This is the way America is made great again. Middle finger to the Me Too movement, and carry on, gentlemen, just like it was back in the 40s and 50s.
Hey, Jim, thank you. Great call and good points, and don't be depressed, man. Keep on listening. We'll do what we can here with you. Matt, yeah, it seems like, you know, Jim's right. This is a middle finger to the Me Too movement. If you have any of these... any of these issues not so long ago would have gotten you tossed out of a cabinet position. Now it's almost a requirement.
Right. You'd have been tossed out of any workplace in America that had a sensible CEO or a sensible non-sexual harassment policy, or had a sensible general counsel in the office who told you, you know, what's okay and what's not okay. But, you know, they want to throw all that out the window. And I think Jim's right. It is just, you know, saying, you know, adios to all this stuff that we have constructed here about having a non-hostile work environment for women over the last, you know, whatever that Clarence Thomas situation came down, last 25 years.
Well,
it's just they're rolling the clock back. That's all they're doing. It's just a question of how far back they want to roll it.
Well, I was just going to say, Matt, and sorry to interrupt, throwing out no-fault divorce also, you know, those kinds of things. And this is progress to me. Who the hell, you know, no one's ever going to marry these guys. You know what I mean? If that's how it's going to be, it ain't happening. Let's get one more call in before our friend Earl Ingram joins us at 4:30. Todder Billy, you are up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call. I share your skepticism about the efficacy of trying to block these nominations, but I'm still hopeful. I think some phone calls might be in order. I heard an analysis of, you know, which senators might be most likely to oppose some of these nominations, rich Republican senators. Some of it may be based on which committees they're on. You know, if you're in the Intelligence Committee, you might be more eager to practice discretion in the area of intelligence than others, for instance. But the names that I heard were Cassidy, Collins, Murkowski, McConnell, Joni Ernst, Mitt Romney's replacement, Curtis, who's a current congressperson, and Cornyn in Texas, and Tom Tillis, and Young. So maybe those people are worth calling and saying, hey, oppose some of these bozos.
Thank you for the call, Touter Billy. Matt Rothschild, your thoughts?
Well, I have no faith in Collins, no faith in McConnell. I mean, Mitch McConnell is the person responsible to getting Trump here. I mean, if he had pushed his Republican colleagues to vote to convict Trump in the second impeachment trial, we wouldn't be where we are right now. I really don't have faith in any of those folks, with the exception of Murkowski doing what's right.
Isn't Tom Tillis, he's going to be the next majority leader in the Senate as well? Is that,
you know, these guys aren't going to buck Trump.
This is, I mean, you'd like to think so. I'd like to think so. But, you know, it's hard to think that these folks are going to push back against the guy who just won. This is the Tom Salvey Show. That's Matt Rothschild. We're going to get Earl Ingram Jr. joining us at the bottom of the hour. You can be there as well. 855-752-4842.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening. You can be a part, 855-752-4842. I want to correct the record. We talked about Tom Tillis, our caller, that maybe he was one of the senators, one of a number that he listed off that might be able to push back against Trump and some of these cabinet picks. And it is John Thune, who is the incoming Senate Majority Leader, not Tom Tillis. I get my 64-year-old white men mixed up sometimes. Jazz is hell to introduce to you right now, our friend Earl Ingram from the Earl Ingram Show. You check him out Monday through Friday here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 8 to 10 a.m. doing the morning shift. Hey, Earl, welcome back to the show, man.
You missed your calling, man. You should become a comedian.
I try to laugh, man. I'm going to cry, Earl. Hey, I know we got lots to get to, but I want to get your sense real quick here, Earl. We're talking about these cabinet picks, and certainly Matt Gaetz probably the most egregious of them to potentially lead the Justice Department. Came out today that we saw apparently paid $10,000 to a couple of hookers over about a year and a half, and this guy wants to be AG. What's your read on this, Earl?
Well, if you look at Gaetz, if you look at Elon Musk, if you look at the guy from Fox News, Hegseth, and if you look at who is the other one, there's four of them who have all been accused of sexual harassment.
Oh, Elon Musk.
Elon Musk, yeah. And so there are four of them, yeah, that he's, so birds of a feather flock together. And I can't believe that a nation that constantly talks about, you know, lock them up, you know, the criminals in the central cities and all those people coming from across the border, all those criminals are so willing to, you know, kind of completely turn the nation inside out and upside down for one guy and allow him to bring in thugs. He's bringing in thugs.
Hey, Earl, Matt Rothschild here. Yes, I want to thank you for coming. I love it when you're on Dom's show, and I love your show. You're a tremendous asset to civic media and to the progressive media universe here in Wisconsin. So I'm tremendously grateful for that. Listeners might not know, I'm doing a podcast for civic media called Wisconsin Forward Podcast. I did a little one about my own reflections on the election called Be in the Light Going Forward. You can get that at civicmedia.us. But I wanted to talk to you because we're going to have a podcast featuring you and this question of racism in our politics. And I wanted to get your take on the elections inform our listeners right now, and also to add on to that podcast, which should be coming out in the next week or two. So straight up, why don't you tell me what effect racism had in Trump winning this election on November 5th?
So as a 70-year-old black man who grew up through the civil rights struggle, who watched my father, who was never saw equality and justice, a grandfather who never saw equality and justice, I'm never going to see equality and justice. My sons are never going to see equality and justice. Mm-hmm. And so it's clear as I speak with blacks across the nation, my friends that I have and their thoughts and what they feel, they clearly feel that at the root of this was racism. And the fact that, you know, many people voted for Donald Trump for no other reason other than Donald Trump is going to try to make things the way they once were. When white people can control things in this country and not be ashamed of it, they could say whatever they wanted to say. They could act in whatever manner they wanted to act in, and nobody would say a thing. During my father's lifetime, that was the way it was. And so even during some of my lifetime, that's the way it was. And so some people grew accustomed to that. As things changed over the last 50 years or so, you start seeing some accountability for what transpired in this nation, and opportunities started to arise. Some equality was starting to work its way through the system. Affirmative action, diversity, equity, and inclusion. None of those things happen without affirmative action or equity, diversity, and inclusion. It was the harbinger that brought about equal opportunities for people to live. In 1968, in Milwaukee, when we had all the riots across this nation and cities burned, over 400 cities burned because of discriminatory practices that existed in the assassination of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, we started seeing some changes. And my father and many of them who came here from the South to take jobs that were given opportunities to them for the first time in the factories because of World War II and other wars, they were given opportunities to have an equal opportunity to even live in decent neighborhoods, to own homes and live the American dream. Well, that has kind of evaporated. And so you can't tell me that people who voted for Donald Trump, I hear them constantly saying, I don't like Donald Trump. I did not like him. There's nothing about the person that I liked. Well, I'll say this. I don't vote for people who I don't like. I don't know about anybody else. Character is the number one thing. If I know you are a person who lacks character, even if I don't like the other person, hey, guess what side of the fence I'm going to come down on? I'm going to vote for the person who I believe has character, who is concerned about the impact and what's right in a society. People who voted for Donald Trump, who said they voted for Donald Trump because they couldn't trust Kamala Harris. She didn't say anything of consequence. Well, for heaven's sakes, we know what Donald Trump is. We saw him 4 years ago. Anybody who doesn't know who Donald Trump is and what Donald Trump was going to do, and they voted for him anyway, you know, it's got to be something other than you didn't like Kamala Harris.
Earl, do you think there was no way she was going to win because she was a black woman, or do you think Trump appealed to racism when he talked about in front of the black journalists, oh, now she's black, or when he went after Haitians in Springfield, Ohio?
Well, you know, did you see the celebration in New York a week before when he talked about the Puerto Ricans and he treated those people as if they were subhuman? And people cheered. Hey, yeah, say, give us some more. Well, there's something behind that. What kind of a human being can look at another human being and think that that person is less than human? Well, Donald Trump is one of those kinds of people. And I'm not saying that the people who supported him are that way, but man, birds of a feather flock together. There's 50% of white Americans who didn't go down that path. So I can't say, oh, white people, I like the ones who voted for Donald Trump, because they're not. But the ones who did, no question about the reason why they voted for Donald Trump. Clearly, they have a problem with people of color coming across the border. And so that's another one of the issues that, you know, made this what it is, not to mention the racist overtones in all the commercials that were put out. They weren't hidden. They were out in the light. All of that stuff used to be done in the dark when I was a young man. You didn't dare say those things. They put it on national television. These things were out for everybody to see. Racist tropes. So I'll say this last thing. So as a black man who lives in this country, lived in here all these years, man, I'll tell you something. America has, they've got a long way to go. A long way to go for equity, justice, and fairness. They failed this time around. Let's see what they do the next time around.
Earl, you know, what steps can we take to start redressing this backlash?
Well, I'll tell you, since black people only make up 12 to 14% of the overall population, we don't have control over the media. We don't have control over those things. That's an internal issue that white America has to face and has to fight and look itself in the mirror, like many did during the 1960s, and say, this can't stand. This is not just. This is not proper to treat other human beings in a manner that's not commensurate with being human beings. It's just not acceptable. And we can't keep running around talking about the ills of the other nations of the earth when we can start in our own home and cleanse it. And then maybe we can act as if we're leaders of the free world. But from what we saw, we've got a long way to go before we can say that.
And what do you make of the kind of Joe Rogans of this world, those white guys who think they're put upon?
Well, you know, Donald Trump, and Dumb and I talked about this last week, had the unmitigated gall to say there should be reparations for white people. Mm. My God. It's come to that. A man who is going to be president of the United States stands before the free world as if he knows nothing about the history of what took place in this country, and continues in many instances, and says the things that he says, and he's not really, he should be tarred and feathered. It's a different world, but if nothing else, he should have been ostracized. not by Black Americans, but by like what Dr. Martin Luther King used to always say, the good white people should have come out and said, this is just totally unacceptable. We can't go back. Kamala Harris said, we're not going back. Well, you know, she's not there anymore.
And a whole bunch of people, sorry, Earl, for interrupting, a whole bunch of people wanted to go back, I guess.
Yeah, they're pushing to go back, but I will tell you, not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. People aren't going to continue to accept, in supposedly the greatest nation on earth, discrimination, injustice that continues to permeate this nation. Let's stop talking about the other nations. Let's stop talking about how bad other nations are and look in the mirror. Michael Jackson said it best. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. Start with the man in the mirror.
That's great advice from Earl Ingram. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm going to throw it over to you, Dom. Thanks so much, Earl.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Earl. Just one quick question before we let you go and we go into the break. You know, my understanding, more African-Americans voted for Trump this time around. To what do you... Why do you think that happened?
Ignorance. I talked with a lot of younger guys. Part of what they said was true. They haven't gotten a whole lot out of the Democratic Party. It's absolutely true. But my response to them was, what do you think you're going to get out of the Republican Party? Man, do you somehow think because you didn't get fair and equitable treatment from the Democratic Party, you're going to get a better shot at it from the Democrats than you are from the Republicans? So what did you prove by not voting or voting for a man who is going to really do untold damage and take this nation back decades?
Earl Ingram Jr. can find his show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Earl, thanks, man. Always a pleasure. If I don't see you, man, have a great Thanksgiving next week, brother.
Hey, man, love you guys.
I love you,
likewise,
man. Coming back with Matt Rothschild and you on the phone, 855-752-4842. Thanks, Earl.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Must be some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. There is no way out of here, folks. We just got to deal and move along, and you can do so with us, 855-75-CIVIC. I want to thank our friend and colleague and great show host here at the Civic Media Network, Earl Ingram, playing out at 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Earl is a treasure. He's a wonderful human being, and love his insights. So we appreciate Earl coming around.
What a powerful voice. Yeah,
you know what I mean? When he talks about his father and his grandfather, it just strikes at home, man. I mean, this isn't ancient history. And I know Earl's an older guy, man, but this is not ancient history. We're still dealing with the ramifications literally of slavery and certainly of the structural racism that we have in this country. I mean, this country was set up for land-owning white men. That was it. That's how it started. So, I mean, you want to talk about history? There's some history. And the fact that, you know, now we have this effort to continue to go backwards. And, you know, it's not always straightforward, Matt, right? It's not step. It's, you know, maybe two steps forward, one step back, maybe one step forward, two back, then stumble a little more. I mean, it's always a fight. It's always a challenge. And, you know, the environment that I think is more unique now than perhaps in the past is, and Earl touched on it just a little bit, the media, and who owns the media and the algorithms and who owns the social media. And those are issues that I don't know that a lot of folks are really diving into it, at least not on the retail level. If you're just, you know, an average human being trying to get through the day, I know I'm not sure that they're very concerned or even care about the algorithms that are going to feed their information. A lot of folks get their news right now, Matt, from social influencers,
and it's totally self-reinforcing. So you know, if you think you're a put upon white guy, you can hear as many podcasts as you want, and if you're a conservative and you want to own the libs, you can, you know, keep it on Fox News or listen to Vicky McKenna, and you can do that 24/7. And so, and if you're living in a conservative community, you can, you know, not have anyone really challenge you.
Yeah.
Similarly, if you're living in on the Isthmus of Madison, you can go a month without bumping into someone who voted for Trump. And you know, it's just, it's not a healthy media diet that we have, that we're consuming, whether we're on the left or on the right. And that's you know, why I like Civic Media. You can get on here if you're driving your car and you're flipping the dial. If you want to find interesting political conversation, you can come here, and you don't have to have a membership card, you know.
Right. We take all callers, Matt. 877-752-4842. When I first started, me and Kurti started doing this. I'm sorry, 855-752-4842. When I first started doing radio, of course, with my buddy Kurti from college, and we're the devil's advocates, and we'd argue about stuff. And I always appreciated people coming at a discussion with, number one, some knowledge, you know, some passion, and an open mind. You know, I mean, I certainly don't claim to have the answers to everything, man. Like I always say, the older I get, the dumber I get, because there's so much I don't know, but I'm curious and I want to learn. And so people have, you know, there's a separation of opinions, certainly, and there are facts. You know, there's the there's editorializing, and then there's the news reporting. There are different things that you have to categorize and understand. And I think perhaps sometimes folks don't make the difference between those things, but you got to have a general curiosity, I think. And certainly when it comes down to the racism and the misogyny and those kinds of things, as an individual, as people, we got to hold ourselves up to the standard. And if that stuff comes around you during Thanksgiving, you know, how do you handle it? How are you going to address it? Because it's going to happen. You know, when someone tells you that racist joke quietly away from the table, how do you address, you know, your family members and your friends when they talk like that? That it cannot be acceptable. I think, Matt, there's got to be accountability for that.
Yeah, you know, I've gotten to the point where when someone says, "Can I tell you a joke?" I usually say no, because the joke, more often than not, is racist or sexist or anti-Semitic and homophobic.
Like, I just don't want to hear it, man. Is that a general rule, or just like, you know, the, you people know, who you think it might be coming from? But like, well, you know, if Dom offers to tell you a joke, it's probably safe.
Well, Dom's got a good sense of humor.
In a sense.
You know, this gets to what is a sense of humor. For me, humor is surprise. And so I like people who are witty and I'm, you know, dancing live and saying something funny, but a rehearsed, you know, raggedy old dog joke,
yeah, yeah.
You know, that's, to me, that's not funny no matter what the punchline is.
That's why I never ask if I could tell a joke, man. 855
7524842.
Some of the texters out there, Steve says cognitive dissonance. I think we're talking about some of the black folks that voted for Trump. Earl is right, and it's unspoken too much. With Trump, rules for thee, but not for me. Typical for a rich white guy with privilege like never seen before. Well, it's been seen before, Steve. And, you know, we've actually addressed it, but it is a constant fight. There's never, Matt, it's not winning the war, it's fighting the battle. And it's always, always, always there. It never, it's like self-governance. You know, you got to push back against those kinds of things. I don't think that it ever ends. And as soon as you think it is over, hey, we finally got it. Women and minorities have their same rights as rich white men. The next thing you know, that ain't the case.
Yeah, this is the revenge of privilege that we're looking at right now.
Come on, revenge of privilege? I mean, that's exactly,
oh, that
what, how obscene is that? I mean, it's privilege. I mean, when are rich white people going to get a break in this country, folks? 855-752-4842. We have some more items to get to. A congressman from the state of Massachusetts went off on the floor on some of these picks. We got the sound of that. Thank you, Matt, for that tip. We're going to come back with that and more of your calls as well. 855-752-4842.
the national news cycle never stops. But it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.